Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage. You're listening to an encore segment of Michael Savage.
Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Talk Radio Network, which is an independent syndicator. I have no pressures that I don't have the pressures that people who syndicate with big companies do, where they have to answer to a lower authority.
I thought I would open on a high note today, since apparently the high road doesn't work in the media. I would open on a regular note. So again, I'm sorry I have to be so right, but I warned you that Trickle Down Tyranny is more than just a book. I warned you that my book, Trickle Down Tyranny, is as real as it gets. I warned you that we have a petty dictator in the White House. I warned you over and over again, the man is showing who he really is. Which leads me to something that I feel I must say, which is about the Republican establishment media complex. Let me explain what I mean by that, and then I'll read you the menu from my party. In fact, I'll read you the menu first. I saw that a menu from the Titanic just brought $130,000 at auction. I can't find the order. Here it is. Menu from Titanic's last lunch sells for $120,000. Well, maybe the menu from Dr. Savage's party, which is printed on beautiful paper. This paper is more valuable than the paper the dollars are printed on. Which one would you have ordered? You would have come into the dining room. It was 50 people, 50 friends, in a little private dining room of a restaurant. You would have had appetizers during the... You would have been greeted with a glass of Dom Perignon champagne. Yes, it is French. Yes, otherwise I will not drink champagne. It's poison. Most champagne is horrible. Headacheville. But I drink Dom. It's very good wine. I drink it once a year. Then you get the appetizer. You get the watercress soup, which is a house specialty. Now, would you have ordered the poulet, the French chicken, or the filet of petrole sole, the grilled lamb chops, the veal piccata, the grilled New York steak, pepper or béarnaise sauce, the two duck special, one leg confit and one breast grilled, sweetbreads or rock cod. The dessert consisted of various desserts, cake, coffee, or tea. I don't know if I can get any more political anymore. I don't think I can take it. So let me go back to regular programming. The Republican establishment media complex. It's an interesting fact, really. I happened to speak to someone today very high up in the literary world, publishing world, and he said that conservative books are taking a big hit right now. Did you know this? And this is at the same time that the Tea Party is fading into oblivion and the Republican Party is fractured. Now, why is this? Now, given the fact that Obama is perhaps the most unpopular president of the modern era, given Obama's huge popular rejection at the polls in the 2010 elections, given the massive unpopularity of his signature legislation, which is socialized medicine called Obamacare, this should be the strongest possible time for Republicans and conservative authors, and yet both are faring poorly. The question is why? Could it be that the vast majority of Republican candidates, like the vast majority of conservative books, have no real message? Could it be that you've heard it all before? Could it be that in both categories, they have nice covers but no real content on the inside? Could it be that the empty suits in the Republican Party are mirrored by the empty pages in the so-called conservative media written by people like Wallbanger and the Leprechaun, where they show their picture and there's nothing inside? I'll let the Savage Nation decide. What is clear to me is that real conservative books do not get play in the so-called conservative media. Books by genuine conservatives are not reviewed by The Golfer, not reviewed by Fix News Network, not reviewed by Breitbart. This is because there is a Republican establishment media complex that will actively promote members of their own club and refuse to promote anybody else. But the Republican establishment media complex, while it claims to represent conservatives, really represents nothing but the establishment and its own self-serving interests. Now, why has the Republican establishment media complex blacklisted Michael Savage? Because time and time again, I revealed them to be just as complicit in the destruction of our nation as the Democrats. The Republican mainstream media complex is just as dangerous as the Democrat mainstream media complex. You have to stand up to both of them. You have to stand up to their duplicitous media duopoly. I need you to reject their stranglehold on America by flooding bookstores. There's a lot of other news out there that's shocking. There's one shocking quote. I'm a little queasy to even quote it to you. There's another little thing. I watched the show Mad Men, Matthew Weiner. I'm not watching it. First of all, it's boring. Number two, they made her fat. They fattened up January Jones for some role. You know, she's married and bored. She put on weight. I mean, what's the point of taking the most gorgeous woman since Grace Kelly and making her fat for shock value, Matt? And more, I'm talking to Matthew Weiner now. And another thing, Matthew Weiner, I hope this gets to you. You're way over your league. You're way out of your league right now. You're over your head. Your series is stinker. It's a stinker. Why'd you have to take a shot at Romney's father? You think that's going to make people like you more? We know what you are. You know you're a left-wing hack. Mad Men is overrated. It stinks. Don't watch it. That's my review. Now, if you had a brain in between your ears, you'd understand that when I say he's a tyrant and a nascent dictator, you would know that I'm the smartest man in the radio business. But the fact of the matter is, I truly don't know what's happened to America. The Tea Parties have been scared off by the Congressional Black Caucus and by the unions who threatened to take them out and by the FBI taking their pictures. You know, sometimes, every once in a while, every few hundred years, a man comes along who knows what's going on. I'm one of them. I didn't get where I am by being just a jokester and telling you how to make a meatball. I don't hold on to this job on radio and as a best-selling author simply because I have such a pretty face. Economies can be rebuilt, armies can be repopulated, but once a nation's pride is gone, it can almost never be restored. Can you compare that to anybody in the conservative media? You know, anyone who's written a better line? I want you to name someone who's written a single better line. Nobody can beat me as a writer. Economies can be rebuilt. Armies can be repopulated. But once a nation's pride is gone, it can almost never be restored. The loss of a nation's honor is something not even centuries can repair. That's how I opened the book, Trickle Down Tyranny. And so what can I say to you? I ask you a question then, which is, why has the Republican establishment media complex blacklisted Michael Savage? If I'm so smart, if I'm such a good writer, if I'm so on target with everything I've said, why am I blacklisted by the Republican media establishment? I'll tell you why. You can tell me why, right? You can tell me why. You can tell me why I'm blacklisted. That's all. It's that simple. You tell me why I'm blacklisted. New York, WOR, Pauline, why? Go ahead. Just tell me what you're calling about, first of all.
Basically, I was just calling to agree with you with your opening statements about other talk show hosts on the conservative networks that put you down. At first, I was leery of what you were saying, but then when I heard them put you down, one talk show host in particular, I said, you know what? Michael is right. Michael is right. And
well, I know who you're talking about. He's a talentless hack. He was put on the air only to block me. He's a lawyer, right? That one, that creep, that ugly,
yes,
creepy guy,
yes.
Who, the guy who has a voice like Groucho Marx's grandmother having a hysterectomy without anesthesia.
Yes.
Yeah, he's talentless. He won't be around much longer because, unfortunately, as Rush goes, he goes too. He's nothing. He's very jealous. Everyone knows he's a hateful man and he won't be around long. He's not going to. The fact of the matter is, I'm asking you why others have blacklisted me. Wouldn't you think that I should be on Fox News whether they like me or not?
Because you're so right on, Michael. You put it out there like ahead of time, and then as the information comes out, you're proven right. You go out there ahead of everybody else.
You know, there was a lawyer who wrote something a long time ago, a really fine attorney. He was a very famous attorney. I forget his name. He said that when I know who it is. It was he used to have an office in San Francisco. I forget his name. It was Melvin Belli, a tort lawyer, a real scoundrel, but a very fine lawyer. And he had an office in downtown San Francisco in the red brick building area. I used to walk by it, and he used to have a big sign over his desk And it went something like this. It's a bad parody that I'm going to give. I can't remember it all. Something like, is that when you're leading the other dogs, when you're the head of the dog pack, all the other dogs only see you're behind. Okay? So naturally they're going to bark at you. You know what I'm saying?
I understand.
So I don't take it personally. You know, it's the mark of people who are Lilliputians in that regard.
You know what, Michael? I don't believe what I hear because I don't trust the media. The Tea Party is still there.
Right. It's like Mrs. Savage said, what do you mean Obama's popular amongst women? Which women, she said? Who did they interview? People at a Michelle rally? What do you mean women? What women would answer such a survey? I'm sending you a free copy of Trickle Down Tyranny. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Tyranny of the Egghead Wars. I think I'll read a nice chapter to you. When I was a kid in the 1950s and early 60s, I would often help my father out in his antique store on the Lower East Side of Manhattan. It was a long ride in from Queens, but I went along with my father because it was like a passport to a different world where I saw all types of strange characters. Everyone, rich or poor, wore a suit and a hat. I met lawyers and doctors, artists and sailors, stock traders and European art collectors. Once I even met someone from the freak show at the Ringling Brothers Circus. But as far as I know, I never met an Ivy League professor. Of course, I heard about them. Respectfully, it's hard to believe now, but back then we looked up to them as great scholars, wise men. This was before the Ivy League professors took over the Lyndon Baines Johnson administration and launched Medicare, which all of the sheeple thought would help the poor, but instead is now bankrupting the government and the middle class. It was before the Ivy League professors put so many restrictions on our troops, proportional response they called it then, that we lost the Vietnam War. And under the Obama administration, we are now in the process of losing the war against Islamic terrorists in the Middle East. It was before the Ivy League theorists wrecked the economy in the 1970s, causing the falling dollar, rising national debt, skyrocketing personal bankruptcies, and the worst unemployment rate since the Great Depression. At the same time, the auto and airline companies were going broke and demanding government handouts, while climbing gas and food prices ate up your paycheck, if you were lucky enough to have a job. Sound familiar, doesn't it? It took Ronald Reagan, a graduate of Eureka College in the tiny town of Eureka, Illinois, to fix the mess the Ivy Leaguers had made of the 1970s. Since Reagan, it hasn't much mattered which party was in power. Ivy Leaguers have had a plan for everything. When they arrive at the White House, watch out. Ivy Leaguer George H.W. Bush, Yale, brought us the savings and loan meltdown, which cost taxpayers over $100 billion. Now, I want to pause right here. See, you think I'm a didactic conservative Republican. What you don't understand is I'm an independent. So I'll read to you again what I wrote on page 146. Ivy Leaguer George H.W. Bush, Yale, brought us the S&L meltdown, which cost taxpayers over $100 billion. Bill Clinton, Yale Law, gave us Monica Lewinsky, attempted to pass socialized medicine in the form of Hillary Care, the precursor to Obamacare, and missed at least 8 chances to take out Osama bin Laden before 9/11. From George W. Bush, Yale, Harvard Business, we got the Iraq War, which he and his advisors almost managed to lose, and the economic crash of 2008. But the Ivy League superstar who puts the others to shame is Columbia University, Harvard Law School graduate Barack Hussein Obama. Obama brought us a recommitment to the war in Afghanistan, where U.S. casualties have risen to record highs in the past year. He's pulling the plug on our fighting forces in Iraq, very likely making sure that after our commitment of thousands of U.S. servicemen's lives and billions of dollars, Iran will regress to become another in the growing number of Islamist dictatorships that are emerging as part of the Arab Spring that Obama has encouraged. Along the way, he committed the United States to war in Libya and to sending American troops into the Central African country of Uganda. Because neither Obama nor the fellow Ivy League eggheads he's brought into his administration in record numbers have ever served in the military or know the first thing about what's involved in deploying troops or making decisions in the heat of conflict, Obama dithered for weeks after the uprising had begun in Libya. During that time, Gaddafi sent tanks and machine gun wielding soldiers against unarmed demonstrators in Tripoli. Soldiers followed fleeing students into stores, and shot them in the head as they pleaded for mercy. Still, Obama refused to even make a public statement. The president was away on his midterm spring break in Brazil with his family when his administration finally came to a decision. That was shortly after he'd filled out his brackets for the 2011 NCAA men's basketball tournament on ESPN, and just before he promised the Brazilian oil company, Petrobras, $2 billion to drill for oil off their coast and that we'd be their best customer for the oil that was produced. He briefly interrupted his Brazil trip to change course from non-involvement, announcing that we would intervene in Libya in order to help the insurgents after all. The key to the U.S. intervention in Libya can be found in the president's words when he revealed a change in plans. He said, "We cannot stand idly by while a tyrant tells his people there will be no mercy." Of course, that's precisely what Obama has been doing for weeks, had been doing for weeks. Don't think that the president suddenly grew a spine, though. He wasn't involved in the decision at all. And I go in to the next chapter called All the President's Women. Hillary Clinton, Susan Rice, Samantha Power. They actually decided that we would go to war against yet another country in the Middle East. So it's all there. Tyranny of the egghead wars, the Ivy League, and it's not limited to Obama. And so therefore, we have to now move on to what we're going to do from this point forward. Why has the Department of Homeland Security bought several hundred million rounds of ammunition? Does anyone have an answer to that? I'm asking you a question. Why would the Department of Homeland Security need several hundred million rounds of ammunition? There are really only two answers to that question, two logical answers. One, because they're planning an insurrection. Two, because they want to dry up all of the ammunition in the United States of America. They want to make sure there's none left for the average citizen. And in either case, it's not good. Something's wrong. Something's wrong with it. But it's being done in a way that, you know, you can't figure it out. But it takes people who can think who can figure this out for you. So here we are. Now we read many other stories, such as Obama administration turns up heat in Iran. Do you actually believe that? That's on Fox News. Gingrich, Romney definite GOP frontrunner, probably will get enough delegates. That's Gingrich. Has he said anything about the tyranny that's emerging?
No.
I know you want to have a good time. You want to talk about, you know, a party or whatever, but not today. I'm giving you the best that my mind has to offer. So forgive me for not telling you how to make a meatball.
Savage. You're listening to an encore segment of Michael Savage.
I want you to listen to this interview that I did on my new book, Trickle Down Tyranny, now a bestseller.
Hello and welcome to Newsmax TV. I'm John Bachman, and joining us now is the author of the book, Trickle Down Tyranny, Crushing Obama's Dream of the Socialist States of America. Michael Savage, it's great to have you with us today.
Well, thanks. I love being on Newsmax. What's up?
All right, well, let's talk about the title of your book. What do you mean by Trickle Down Tyranny?
Well, on New Year's Eve, while people were partying, our president passed the National Defense Authorization Act, which to this day nobody knows whether it gives him the authority to arrest people without a trial. People, some say it does, some say it doesn't, ambiguous. The other day, last week, he thought a microphone was off. He leans over and talks to Medvedev of Russia and says, if I'm reelected, I'll have more flexibility to do what? To screw Czechoslovakia and Poland. Now we wake up this morning, the Wall Street Journal reports that the president is using more executive orders than Bush did. And while he was a senator, he said, I will not abuse the executive orders. Today his spokesmouth says, when he was a senator, he didn't know how many important things there were to do as president, so he has to use executive orders. These are just the tip of the iceberg.
Why do you think President Obama, let's talk about that Wall Street Journal piece. Why do you think the president had a change of heart once he got into the Oval Office?
It's simple. Lord Acton said it best in the 1940s when he said, power corrupts, absolute power corrupts absolutely. And it's not limited to him. We all understand that politicians are an interesting species. They're egomaniacs. They're driven to succeed. They're driven to rule other people. And so we live in a participatory democracy where those instincts, when they get out of control, are supposed to be reined in by a separation of powers, correct?
That's what we were taught. That's what we were taught in social studies anyway.
Yeah, that's the theory. So the idea of an executive order is quite worrisome in a democracy to begin with.
My fear is that if you look at Mr. Obama's history, it's not a mystery. His history is not a mystery. I hate to sound like one of the reverends who don't have a degree in theology, but the fact of the matter is he has quite a history, and it ain't no mystery. What do I mean by that? You go back to his background. Do I have to mention Reverend Wright, 20 years of anti-American rhetoric, 20 years of black nationalism, a good friend of Louis Farrakhan? This makes people very uncomfortable. They don't even want to hear it. We have to hear it. He was not vetted as a candidate. Okay, so now we have 3 years of the president. What has he really done that's so wrong? Let's start with bread and butter issues. He inherited a $1 trillion deficit. Anyone can understand that. Bush was I called him a fiscal socialist, by the way. I called President Bush a fiscal socialist. Wow, what does that make me? Makes me a realist because I saw what Bush was doing. Obama now, instead of tightening the belt of our economy, has expanded it to a $3 trillion deficit. Runaway spending ends in disaster. How does it stop? Where is the give and take in all of this?
Well, let's talk about that Wall Street Journal article a second. We could backtrack because it also mentioned several other examples of presidents who face criticism for using executive power. As voters, what should we keep in mind as we head to the polls in November of 2012, and how can we limit that pervasive use of executive power?
That's such a great question, because I've got to answer it by quoting myself without just speaking off the cuff, and it's a two-line answer. In Trickle-Down Tyranny, I open the book with an amazing chapter called Advice to the Next President, and it starts like this. Economies can be rebuilt, armies can be repopulated, but once a nation's pride is gone, it can almost never be restored. The loss of a nation's honor is something not even centuries can repair. The next president must love America. Now, what do I mean by that? In all of the debates going on, have you heard anyone say they love America? Does anyone talk about our loss of honor, our diminished status in the world? To me, the honor of a nation is what's at stake. I wish Romney would show some spine and some backbone and talk about America's greatness and America's wonders. I don't hear that. All I hear is a technocrat talking about how he's going to tweak this or tweak that. I want a man of leadership. That's what we should be looking for.
Let's focus back on President Obama and his administration. Along the same lines of the Defense Authorization Act of 2012, Attorney General Eric Holder recently stated that the federal government has the authority to kill U.S. citizens without a trial, as was the case with the American-born al-Qaeda operative Anwar al-Awlaki. What was your reaction to Holder's justification for al-Awlaki's killing?
When they came for the terrorists, I did not raise my voice because I was not a terrorist. Who's next? This is a very dangerous precedent. I opposed it when it occurred. We all know al-Awlaki was a dangerous man, anti-American. He deserved to be rounded up and tried, but he didn't deserve to be whacked like we have a mafia running the country. It's very worrisome indeed, because we don't know who tomorrow will be an enemy of the state.
Another thing you talk about in your book, of course, is President Obama's cuts to the military, and you say it's been done so to a dangerous level. The military is facing even steeper cuts with the coming sequestration. Do you think there's any way that those cuts can be avoided?
We have the smallest Navy since World War I. At the same time that China is building its aircraft carriers, building its submarine fleet, building its space capacities, building the capacity to fight a war in space, Obama not only did what you just said, but he's also eliminated NASA's moonshots. We're now passengers. Can you imagine we have astronauts sitting on a Russian rocket in our lifetime and no one even understands the implications of this? The real question is, if we get a Republican administration, can we reverse some of the damage to the military in time to protect our national interests, our national security interests? I think that's the real issue.
And I want to go back to the passage you read from your book a few moments ago. You didn't say this right then, but it follows what you said. And you say the next president needs to be the, quote, exact opposite of Barack Obama. Do you feel like any of the current Republican candidates for president fit that description?
No, none of them are the exact opposite. None of them are the visceral, in my opinion, America-loving national type of the order of Barry Goldwater. You say, well, who was he? To me, he was the greatest of all of the conservatives because he was a very balanced conservative, clearly patriotic. I remember Goldwater's statement, extremism in the defense of liberty is no vice. Moderation in the pursuit of justice is no virtue. I thought that was one of the greatest campaign lines I've ever heard in my life. I don't expect to see a Goldwater in this age, but I'd like a little bit more Americanism coming from Mr. Romney, who all I hear is, if I'm elected, I'll save America. It sounds like he's running for the presidency of a high school rather than the presidency of the United States. This is the problem. Now, will I vote for Romney personally? I certainly would. Why? Because on the issue of national security alone, I would sleep better at night. On the issue of how he would deal with Islamic terrorism, I would sleep better at night. On the issue of lowering corporate and individual income taxes, I would sleep better at night. Those reasons alone are enough for me to vote for Mitt Romney. I'd just like to see a little more visceral America loving.
And do you see anybody out there, perhaps, since there isn't that candidate for 2012, but perhaps for 2016 that fits that description of the exact opposite of Barack Obama?
Donald Trump. You know, Donald Trump, I love Donald Trump's politics. In some ways, he and I have crossed paths. I mean, I'm a member of his club, to be very clear, in Florida. I think I have to disclose that. He's not a personal friend of mine. He hasn't come over to dinner recently. But the thing is this. I called for tariffs on China 2 years ago in my last book, Trickle Up Poverty. I said we should impose a 20% tax on China-made goods. Donald Trump said the same thing about a year and a half ago. He still believes that we have to impose tariffs on China, or we're going to wind up with nothing manufactured in this country. So the answer is Donald is a very straightforward, loves the military, has pride in the country, and he's a smart businessman. What more could we ask for?
All right, there you have it from the host of Radio's The Savage Nation, Michael Savage. His book, Trickle Down Tyranny, Crushing Obama's Dream of the Socialist States of America, hits bookstores on April 3rd. It's available for pre-order now on Amazon.com. Michael, thanks for talking to us.
I'll be right back. It's The Savage Nation.
Savage.
Nancy Pelosi famously said that we would have to pass Obamacare to find out what was in it. President Obama has turned that advice into a campaign strategy. He wants us to reelect him so we can find out what he'll actually do. With all the challenges the nation faces, this is not the time for President Obama's hide-and-seek campaign. President Obama has said he wants to transform America. I don't want to transform America. I want to restore to America the values of economic freedom and opportunity and small government that have made this nation the leader it is. It is opportunity that has always driven America and defined us as Americans.
Women are talking about the economy and jobs and about the legacy of debt that we're going to leave our children, and we are mad about it, and we're going to do something about it in November with your help.
Who does Romney look like? You know, I look at people. Sometimes I try to say, I keep looking. What is he reminding me of? What is he reminding me of? What is he reminding me of? And I look at him, and bingo, it goes off. Romney looks like Reverend Billy Graham. The longer the campaign goes on, the more he's starting to resemble him. Questions for the Savage Nation. A left-wing blog is trumpeting Ann Romney for her ability to attract female voters to Mitt Romney's campaign. You know, and I know, that Ann Romney is not a good thing for his campaign. I said so last week, which is why the left-wing blog is recommending that Romney should be using his wife more. Right? It's the same reason Van Jones says that Condoleezza Rice should be picked by Romney. He knows that that would destroy his chances. What do you think? The enemies of Romney are saying these things because they like him? But the campaign is being run by such doofuses that they're liable to listen to Van Jones instead of Michael Savage. They have a blueprint to defeat Obama right in their hands. My book. Do you think that one of Romney's campaign aides would go out and buy this book and read this thing and learn something from it? You know they won't. They'd rather listen to an enemy like Van Jones than listen to me. And that's why Romney is likely to lose. The politics of this election are in total play. Anything could happen. They need ideas. They need fresh ideas. They don't need... See, the people who are running around this campaign have failed already. You don't even have to ask, am I right or wrong? Everyone knows I'm right. In other words, just by dint of the fact of people saying, what's wrong with Romney? Why doesn't he have any traction? Means he should fire his entire staff. He should get rid of them. But he doesn't even understand that he's not winning. He's not got any traction. Of course he's winning in Republican campaigns amongst Republicans. But that doesn't mean he's going to win the election. He's not got any traction with the base. The base is what makes or breaks Romney. And the fact of the matter is he has no traction with the base whatsoever because he doesn't like conservatives. In fact, he has contempt for conservatives. Advice to the next president, the savage worldview. Economies can be rebuilt. Armies can be repopulated. But once a nation's pride is gone, it can almost never be restored. The loss of a nation's honor is something not even centuries can repair. The next president must love America. The next president must embody unequivocally everything that is good about this country going back to its founding. The next president must be the exact opposite of Barack Obama. He must be a man of high character and strong commitment to American values. You want me to go on? I'm not going to read from my book. You can go buy it. I'll read you one line and you tell me if I'm lying. I'll tell you what, if I'm lying, don't buy my book. Obama's economic policies have caused such an enormous rise in the price of the necessities of life that his administration has removed energy and food prices from its financial analysis in order to avoid telling the American people just how bad inflation is. I realize that that's a long paragraph for most people who went through the American educational system. They blanked out after the first two sentences. So let me repeat it in simpler language. Obama and his administration are such liars that they have removed, they do an analysis, okay, about what inflation is, 8%, 9%, right? But most presidencies have included the cost of goods, including gas and food. The crooks in the Obama administration have cooked the books by removing gas prices and food prices from the price of goods in order to keep the reported level of inflation at the distorted statement that they make. If I'm right, then buy the book. If I'm wrong, don't buy the book. If you know anyone who's smarter than me, who's written a book recently, don't buy the book. If you think you've heard all this before, don't buy the book. If you'd like to learn something you don't know and walk around with your head not where you think it might be, but where it should be, I'm recommending that you educate yourself. But more importantly, just you walk this book around to work. Trickle-down tyranny, you put it on a desk and you see how tolerant your liberal friends are. A recent survey has revealed that the top car for Republicans is a Ford Mustang convertible, and the top car for Democrats is a Honda Civic Hybrid. That's an interesting statement unto itself. Every time I'm cut off on the road, it's by a lib in a stinking little Prius from the right lane. You ever see how mad they get if they can't cut you off? This is the most amazing thing. They're like cheaters on the highway. They're in the right lane. They're not supposed to pass you from the right lane, right? And they try to pass me. I won't let them pass. First of all, I don't like people cutting me off, but they're breaking the law. They get mad at you. Right away, they get mad. They start screaming and the fist right away, and they got the rainbow on the back, Obama with the rainbow. Then they give you the lights. I love that one. I had a light the other day. I had a light job. It went on about four blocks. I got so mad. The guy tried to cut me off from the right lane. I wouldn't let him pass me. I just sped up. He got behind me. The lights went on right away. Always the same type. Always, either somebody in a Prius or a broken-down a car like a Jeep Cherokee from the 1980s. And the lights go on, and he wouldn't get off my tail. I got so angry. I came to a halt in the middle of a street. You ever do that? You know, I mean, I had enough of this. It was dangerous. What am I supposed to do in that situation? Call 911 and say there's a nut trailing me with his brights on? I don't do a thing like that. And so I think I'll stop the car. Let's see what happens. Nothing sits there with the lights on. All right, let me take callers before I say something I regret. CJ in Tyler, Texas, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yeah, thank you, Michael. And the reason the Republican establishment does not has no endearment for Mr. Savage is because you have uncovered their nakedness. You have revealed the truth about the establishment. And Michelle Bachmann, when she would not come back on your show after you helped her, I was very disappointed in her. And if she would have come back on your show, she would have done better than she did with the debates and everything else and people.
Do you know that her campaign died after she did that to me and I started disclosing who she was? Remember, at first I wouldn't do it. I said, look, I don't really want to undermine her, but the truth is I got angrier and angrier and I realized she was a fraud. And the minute I disclosed it, she started to plummet in the polls.
Right.
No, look, CJ, I would be remiss. Let's put it this way, not remiss. I don't like that word. I think I'd be a liar if I said to you that I didn't have the influence I have. I do. I have an enormous audience. They're mainly the undecided. They're the exact demographic of undecided that Romney needs in order to win. And yet he's doing to me exactly what Bachmann did. And I have a terrible fear he's going to go by the same road. It's not me. They listen. In other words, CJ, you're a listener. You're a listener. You're a caller. You listen to every word on this show. And you take it in and you think about it. And I think it has an enormous impact upon the political landscape, CJ. I truly do.
It does. Absolutely right. And you were talking about the who. The five W's in journalism is who, what, where, when, and why.
I'm in a weird mood. It's like I feel like I'm living in a siege. It's like I have a siege mentality. A lot of things are the last in my life right now. Last book, last party. I swear, a lot of things are going on in my life right now. Last this, like Last Chance Saloon. I have a terrible, terrible foreboding about what's coming. I don't want to get into like, you know, I climbed a mountain and looked on the other side because I'm not into, I'm not into like mysticism in that regard. But I have very strong intuition. You know, I got to tell you something about thoughtfulness. It's an interesting question without giving you too much philosophy because it gets boring. People who can think and make statements that make sense, they use logic, hard logic. They use facts. Then they build upon these facts. They come up with a logical conclusion, right? But there's also another element in thoughts, in presenting thoughts, which is intuition. Because anybody could read the facts and come up with a statement. And then you have a sort of, robotic kind of bureaucrat. But if you add the intuitive to the logical, you come up with the brilliant. Economies can be rebuilt, armies can be repopulated, but once a nation's pride is gone, it can almost never be restored. That's poetry. That is a single sentence that can live for 100 years. Do you know that? You're living through history right now, but you don't know it. Most people don't even know they're living through history. I'm a very humble man. My own personal lifestyle at this point is quite simple. You know what I had for lunch today? A can of salmon and a salad I made in my own house. Do you know that? I don't go to 4-star restaurants for dinner. The fact of the matter is I don't need the money. I've not written this book for the money. Many of you don't believe a word of it. I don't really care. Those who know me know what I'm saying is true.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
You're listening to an encore segment of Michael Savage.
Most people who are normal are not paying attention to the news. See, we're all enslaved by our own addictions. We're enslaved by our own jealousies and such. Addictions of many kinds. Anger, jealousy, greed, you name it. And Passover says that we can leave our own Egypt behind. We're supposed to remember that we have the power to unenslave ourselves. We have the power to break our own chains. So let's leave the big O word out of it. It's too easy to do. No, but that's the meaning of it. I mean, that's what it comes down to. We're all enslaved, and we can get unenslaved by breaking our own chains. But you think anyone means that? They run out and take a joint. Here's my headline from the Times of Israel. Weak Israel goes to pot. That's my headline. The headline says it like it is. Because a medicinal marijuana provider offers kosher cannabis cookies. Moses is turning over in his grave. God himself is saying, oy vey, that the nation of Israel would become a nation of addicts like this and take on San Francisco values and expect to survive when they are surrounded by vehemently, vehemently, vehemently anti-Jewish, anti-Israel enemies. Let me ask you something. Who wins the battle? Someone who's stoned or someone who's straight? Who wins the battle? Someone who's drunk or someone who's drinking coffee? Who wins the battle, someone who believes in God or someone fakes believing in God? It's real simple. My headline is, Weak Israel Goes to Pot. You don't like the headline? Take it up with someone else. Don't bother me. That's kosher because some idiot told you it's kosher. Marijuana is the most dangerous drug on the planet. No matter what the doctor or idiots tell you, it is the most dangerous drug on the planet because people think it's the most benign. It's horrible what it does to people. Okay, so instead of 4 cups of wine, you're going to have, what, 4 joints? Is that it, the people in Berkeley? And then run someone over on your bicycle in San Francisco? That, you know how many people are getting knocked off in San Francisco on bicycles now? The lunatics on bicycles, they're out of control. Then they arrest the dead person for having walked in a crosswalk instead of arresting the bicyclist. What would you like to talk about in the Savage Nation? I mean, personally, I'm not burned out. I'm not tired. I'm on allergy medication, which is really whack-a-doodle. I'd rather have allergies than the way I feel. I always try medication once in a while. It's horrible. What's this one called? Something D with Sudafed in it? You have to give out your children's birth certificates now to get a Sudafed tablet in a drugstore. You have to bring a certificate from your mother, even if you're 60. Horrible. I mean, Sudafed's like a speed freak thing. I mean, I'm salivating from it. I'm starting to feel like Olbermann as I talk, just from one. In a few more minutes, I'm going to look like a Rachel Madcow if this keeps up. So I was looking at the Old Testament. Now I have Mark 13, which is the Christian Bible. Listen to this. This is chapter 14. After 2 days, it was the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take him by trickery and put him to death. But they said, not during the feast, lest there be an uproar of the people. So, and being in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at the table, a woman came having an alabaster flask of very costly oil of spikenard. Then she broke the flask and poured it on his head. But there was some who were indignant among themselves and said, why was this fragrant oil wasted? For it might have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor. And they criticized her sharply. But Jesus said, let her alone. Why do you trouble her? Let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always, and whenever you wish, you may. Anyway, you can read it for yourself. Some people take Bibles literally, some take them figuratively, and some don't take them at all. And those people would be in politics, the latter category. They walk around with show Bibles, large crosses on them. Now I'm going to read you one passage, and I'll stop. I have in my hand a third religious book, The Teaching of Buddha, which, of course, is not in the tradition of monotheism to begin with. But it's a beautiful book of philosophy in my mind, to me anyway. So I found one piece for you today that may be appropriate about homeless brothers, believe it or not. Duties of the Brotherhood. A man who wishes to become my disciple must be willing to give up all direct relations with his family, the social life of the world, and all dependence upon wealth. A man who has given up all such relations for the sake of the Dharma and has no abiding place for either his body or mind has become my disciple and is to be called a homeless brother. Now, you see, when you read a thing like that, you understand the appeal of Buddhism to the pseudo-Buddhists in America. The pseudo-Buddhists in America continue to drive their Priuses and their Volvos, if they still drive Volvos. They have Obama 2012 bumper stickers. They go to the wine country on the weekend to drink very good Chardonnay and Cabernet Sauvignon. But they identify with those who have given up the worldly things, and they therefore think that they're homeless. And then they get angry at people who have better cars than them, who they try to cut off from the right lane, because they assume you're the rich pig and they're not. So it's all a matter of degree, and it's all a matter of psychology. You understand how America works? It's a great place if you understand how it works. Now, if you want to talk about the news, this is the place to do it. Let's go to the callers at 1-800-449-8255. Let's begin in Sacramento now, up in KSTE country. Jim, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Hey, greetings from Sacramento.
What is your main point, Jim?
I can't. I'm sorry. Can you hear me?
Yes. Regarding allergies, what?
Cell phone. Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you. Regarding allergies, what?
I'm sorry. Anyway, so 1905. Regarding allergies, I was a rich kid, son of a bank president here in Sacramento. I struggled with allergies for my life. I had croup. I had asthma. My grandparents had to take me up to Lake Tahoe to survive. Sometimes I was a pincushion for the pharmaceutical industry. So I struggled with Sudafed, Actifed. You know, everything. I was fed it all.
Right.
And what was the
final cure?
Final cure for me, at least. I've been on a plant diet for a year. I'm an extremely moral individual, But I do smoke dope, Mike. I don't know if you approve of it or not. I'm sure you don't.
Yeah, but it's not. You got to understand, it's not whether I approve. It's not a moral issue to me. Marijuana isn't a moral issue. It's not a moral issue. Marijuana has so many toxins in the smoke that an educated man like yourself should understand that.
Okay, that's what the science says. Maybe I have the power to overrule those negative things, Mike. But
maybe I'm you do. Look, I wish you well. But if you just Google toxicants found in marijuana, you'll find a shopping list that exceeds that of cigarettes. And I don't care if people smoke pot. It's not a moral thing to me. It's a medical issue. It's a chemical issue. It's a toxicological issue. That's what matters. But moreover, I think the nation is being weakened by the massive propaganda, which was originally funded, by the way, by George Soros, because he started this legalized marijuana BS, the medical marijuana, in Arizona and California 10 years ago. I had a big argument with one of his flacks over this issue. He is the one who wants to dope the nation the same way the British doped the Chinese in order to make them into slaves. It's that simple. It's a nation of slaves. And there's a reason pot is called dope. I don't know anyone's gotten smarter smoking it, do you? Can you name someone who's gotten smarter smoking pot? Tell me that their dexterity has increased. Tell me that they can do math faster. Tell me they can fly a plane better. Tell me they can drive a race car better. And you'll find out what I'm saying to you. Tampa, Florida. Jeff, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey, Michael, I just wanted to say thanks. Nobody out there says it enough, says it like you. Everybody says, hey, it's no big deal. Don't worry about it.
Now, look at Hollywood. Every Hollywood movie shows a slut smoking a joint. Everyone, oh, it's nothing. Let's have a joint. Like if they're eating candy cane.
Exactly.
Well, they're reflecting their lifestyle, which is why they're in and out of rehab.
Wait, hang on. Before I go, how much money do you need to earn each month? IncomeAtHome.com is America's leading work-from-home business. They have an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau. They're affiliated with a multi-billion dollar company. Plus, they do business in over 80 countries. The bottom line is this. They are legit. Your age, education, experience, it doesn't matter. You can do this. You can literally earn money on your computer from your kitchen table 24/7. Even while you sleep, there's no pressure. All you need is a little spare time and their one-on-one coaching to earn great money from home. Hey, look, if you're sick of living paycheck to paycheck, if you're worried about job security or retirement, if you're ready to make great money from home, IncomeAtHome.com is adding my listeners in record numbers. So check them out. Visit IncomeAtHome.com. That's IncomeAtHome.com.
Savage.
Savage Nation, we're hard at work. Chemicals found in marijuana smoke. I'm posting it up on michaelsavage.com for the parents out there who want to warn their poor children that they're being brainwashed into thinking it's natural and good for them. See, there's a myth that things that if they're natural, it's good. There are many natural things that can kill you. Do I have to explain that to you? Yes. People don't even understand that it's not a matter of whether it's natural. It's a matter of whether it's toxic. And marijuana smoke is highly, highly toxic, as this article will prove to you. And in fact, one last line and then I'll let it go. Ammonia. Who would say ammonia is good for you? No one. Ammonia is found in mainstream marijuana smoke at levels up to 20-fold greater than that found in tobacco. Now, as you well know, the fools who have been brainwashed with the global warming and big tobacco, I don't smoke cigarettes because I know it'll kill me, would have killed me, killed my father. Here's marijuana has ammonia levels 20-fold greater than that in tobacco. Hydrogen cyanide. Okay, nitrous oxide in marijuana smoke at concentrations 3 to 5 times of those found in tobacco. So all of the jerks, oh, I'm natural. I eat a vegan diet and low gluten. And, I don't drink alcohol. But I smoke weed because it's really good for me. It's natural. Brainwashed, just fools. They don't know what they're talking about. mercury, cadmium, lead, chromium, nickel. I don't want to read these names to you just for effect. Formaldehyde, acetaldehyde, acetone, hydroquinone, resorcinol, catechol, phenol, naphthalene, fluorine, benzoapyrenes. You know, many of you won't eat smoked foods and you won't eat foods with nitrites in them, right? Well, rightly so, because you know that they've been found to be related to cancer. It's very, very well established. Well, how about benzoapyrenes? Highly carcinogenic. So if you want to increase your risk of cancer and other diseases, continue to smoke marijuana and advise yourself that it's natural. So what can I say to you? I can give you the facts, but apparently facts don't matter whether it's about marijuana smoke or about Obama or about elections. Facts do not matter. To the American people are like children. They don't want to know certain things. So let's take the callers. You don't want to listen to a right-wing guy about this stuff because you know more. You know more about everything. You don't know more about, you know more about everything. Second Amendment, First Amendment, Fourth Amendment, Fifth Amendment, Sixth Amendment, Seventh Amendment, Eighth Amendment. I don't know anything about those things. Nope. Like King George III, the despot, Obama too is trampling on the rights of individuals and state governments. But you don't want to hear that either. He attacks the Supreme Court the other day in the most frightening way, and you didn't want to hear that either because it was brushed aside by the Associated Press. The Fort Hood massacre, still no justice for those relatives of those killed because the U.S. Army is hiding the pro-jihad rants of Major Nidal Hassan. And multiple reports by his superiors about the pro-Islamist internet postings he made before he shouted Allahu Akbar at Fort Hood and killed 13 and wounded 30 at Fort Hood, Texas, in November 2009. And Obama does not want this to come to trial. Why? Because it will remind you of certain things that are uncomfortable. It reminds me of what happens in totalitarian states everywhere as citizen is turned against citizen, family members against family member, while the state accumulates increasing power over its citizens' lives. That's what it reminds me of in many, many different ways, and it's on page 259 of my book. And I keep referring to it because the day will come when I will not refer to it, and then it's going to be up to you to refer to it. We've got a long time now between now and November, and you need some information. You can't just scream at people. You've got to sit down in small groups and try to argue with them. Well, you need an architectural plan. You need your brief as a lawyer to go into an argument. You can't just walk in there and shoot from the hip. Lee in New York on WOR is calling about the dangers of marijuana. Go ahead, please.
Hi. First, Michael, I wanted to say I really enjoyed trickle-up poverty, and I'm looking forward to trickle-down tyranny as soon as I can get it.
Anyway, oh, boy. Well, let's get it over with. You named the book, so you're getting a copy. So what's on your mind?
Oh, good evening. Thank you. I just wanted to say that pot is the gateway drug. Every other addiction comes from that. I've lived through it in my immediate family, and there's no such thing as a healthy smoker smoking anything.
Well, that's very interesting when you say it's a gateway. You mean they start with marijuana and what? Then they try other drugs?
That's right, because after a while, it just doesn't do the trick anymore, and they need to branch out into other things. I've lived through this with a brother.
Listen to this. I remember when I was young at 17, an older guy talked me into smoking pot, and then I heard them, the pot smokers who were older than me, said, ah, pot's for tots, horses, boss. And many of them went on to shooting heroin and wound up dead or worse than that. So I understand what marijuana does. Of course it's a baby drug. It's the entry-level drug.
Yes, it is, and it ruins families, you know, when someone becomes addicted.
What happened with your brother?
Since he was a teenager, he's now in his 40s, he got hooked on pot, and from then he got into every drug you can name, and after that...
Well, you know the potheads don't believe you, though. They'll say, oh, well, he also started on mother's milk. Are you going to blame mother's milk? I've heard every argument under the sun. You know how they don't use reason. You know that.
And they don't want to hear it, and they get into other things, and when we realized how deep the problem was, we just had no choice. We had to disown him, and he did a lot of nasty things to my father. He cut my father out of his own business, and
what, is he working for the Justice Department today as a lawyer?
No. He and my father had been in business for many, many years.
No, I'm just being sarcastic, you know.
Well, anyway...
It sounds very, very tense for you, but I really appreciate your testament and testimonial on the show today, and I hope you enjoy the book. I really do.
Savage. are listening to an encore segment of Michael Savage.
I want you to listen to this interview that I did on my new book, Trickle Down Tyranny, now a bestseller.
Dr. Michael Savage is on the line. Of course, you hear Dr. Savage here every evening. You hear his entire program broadcast live. How are you, Doc?
How are you still allowed on the air in Florida with the curtain, the iron curtain that's descended over South Florida with the ascension of the creature from the Black Lagoon there who is the congresswoman, the one with the double last name who I always forget?
Oh, Debbie Wasserman Schultz.
Wasserman Schultz. Isn't that so English?
Before we go any further,
yeah.
Happy birthday.
At a party, we have pictures of my dog and others at the party up on michaelsavage.com. The dog had a wonderful time. Thanks for asking.
All right. I'm glad you did.
Hey, look, I happen to love, you know, I really love two audiences on my national show, WFTL and WOR. You know what they have in common?
No.
New Yorkers.
Oh, that's true. Lots of them.
Everybody on W who listens to you must be from Brooklyn, Queens, or New Jersey.
You think?
I don't know.
I don't know either. But I know that you've got to be reeling as I am with what's going on. And I had an opportunity to read Trickle Down Tyranny. And you are the only person right now who's out there saying that 4 years of Obama is not just a bad idea. It could be the end of America.
Well, people think we're making this up. All you got to do is look at what he has done and what he's promised certain groups he will do, not if, but when he is reelected. Now, that's a separate story. What do you mean, when I'm reelected? Remember when he said that to Medvedev with the mic off?
Mm-hmm.
When I'm reelected, I'll have more flexibility. Then he uses the when I'm reelected again. Is there something we don't know, we the dumb people? Well, anyway, you know that the election machines are controlled by a foreign entity, Joyce. You know that, right?
Yes, I do. Because I listen to your show.
It's hard to believe, but it's a fact of reality. The computers that count the votes in America are not even wholly owned in the United States anymore. They're owned by some holding company in Spain, and no one knows who the owner is. Could it be George Soros? So what, did they put the numbers in like at a paramutual track in advance?
Look, I think that there's so much proof right now about voter fraud, even from just some of these primary elections, and nothing going to be done. You got a Department of Justice who's too busy prosecuting the governor of Arizona to pay attention to intimidation on the part of new Black Panther parties, who's down here now offering a bounty on a fellow Floridian.
Yes, I saw that. Did you see how they doctored the tape for Zimmerman? What they did at NBC, those rats at those networks, how they doctored the tape to make it sound like he was saying a racial thing, which he didn't do. Look, we have domestic terrorism at work. Unfortunately, they're the ones who control the laws. And let's let it go at that, Joyce. We don't need to get into deeper trouble than we're already in.
I know.
Let me ask the audience out there, many of whom may be liberal or Democrats, but they like you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask this question. Listening to this show, do you agree that Obama rewards poverty? Yes. Do you believe he punishes success? Yes. Do you believe that he treats our worst enemies with praise, but stiffs our allies, such as Israel? Do you believe he uses the military as a pawn? Yes. Do you believe that our borders have descended into total chaos? And finally, Joyce, anyone listening out there believe the following, that corporations and cronies are making off with all the wealth? Now, if you agree with anything I said, then welcome to the Savage Nation. And go buy a copy of Trickle Down Tyranny because it's your kind of book.
Absolutely. I think you should have gone with the original title, which was Rules for Beating Radicals.
Well, I thought of that as the original title, but I thought it was too esoteric. And
well, that's why we're in trouble, because we don't read the manual that this president is basically basing his entire control of the country on.
Look what he said to the Supreme Court justices the other day. This unelected group of people? Was he talking about a flash mob outside a nightclub?
No, the Supreme Court.
Joyce, he was talking about the Supreme Court? I don't believe he actually went to law school, or if he did, what was he doing there for 3 years?
Yeah, well, but you know...
Do you know that Marbury versus Madison is the first thing they teach kids an element in first-year law school, where a Supreme Court gets to judge a president's law, or a Congress's law, rather, and if they want, they can override a congressional bill. That's what the Supreme Court is all about. And here's a constitutional lawyer, Barack Obama, who doesn't even know that he's not the supreme authority in the land. Who does he think he is?
Well, we know who he thinks he is. You're predicting that if he does get another term, he will never get unelected and he'll assume presidency for life.
Well, why should we assume to the contrary? He's a young man. He's a strong man. He's a egomaniac, as all of them are. He's no different in that regard. Why should we assume that if he threatens the Supreme Court with a statement such as an unelected group of people, that he couldn't say, you know what, term limits are now passe. I pass an executive order. There are no term limits. The people love me. And so, therefore, I'm running again. Mm. Why couldn't he do that?
Like Hugo Chavez, just like that.
Why not? Mm-hmm. And by the way, Obama says he's a transformational president. Let's not get too carried away here. Let's be very calm about it. What does he mean by transformational, Joyce? What is his model? Which city is he modeling it on? Which nation is he modeling it on? Is it China? Is it Venezuela? What country is his model for the transformation?
It's more like Chicago.
Yeah, it's a great song.
Exactly. Let me ask
Joyce,
you
another. Go on. I'm sorry. How do you handle your job without cracking up from this?
It's funny that you said that. Last night I watched Mel Brooks' movies, The History of the World Part 1, because I was about, my hair hurt. It was getting so bad, the news.
Are the people out there still listening? Do they still care, Joyce?
Yes, absolutely. You've got 10 million listeners at least. Everywhere I go, people talk about the fact that you're saying things that others don't dare to say, and they listen. I don't know that they change, but they listen. What did you think last night, though? Now we're looking at a Romney president, you know, a nomination. It looks inevitable, and he's not a candidate that either you or I are going to be attracted to in any sense. He's just too bland and too kind of irrelevant. What do you think is going to happen? Is this going to be another wasted election?
No, because, look, Romney is a middle-of-the-road Rockefeller-type Republican, Czech Pants Republican, Country Club Republican. That's all true. However, on two issues alone, I have to vote for this character. One, on the issue of national security and taking on the Islamists, I would suspect he's going to be tougher, although one never knows.
I don't know.
On the issue of taxation, corporate taxes and personal, he can't do it with the stroke of a pen, but he certainly understands that high taxation yields stagnation. And so on those issues alone, I would sleep better. As far as everything else goes, I think he's a diehard liberal.
Yeah, that's my problem. His history and his record is clear. He'll take whatever position he thinks will get him elected. But again, what politician doesn't do that?
Is this too catty for me to say, but don't you think Ann Romney ought to disappear from the campaign?
That's not bad. I think what's really would help him is if he just announced a cabinet and filled it with all the people that do bring passion to the table, whether it's, you know, Secretary of Defense Alan West.
Joyce, wait a minute. How about a platform? What does he stand for?
Forget
a
platform.
The Etch-a-Sketch was a pretty good model for this guy.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm elected, I will save America. It sounds like a G.O. speech for somebody in a high school.
Mm-hmm.
What we need is someone who says, okay, here's my campaign, borders, language, culture. That's pretty clear. I hang my hat on those. If you like, you know, my campaign slogan, vote for me. What is his slogan?
Yeah, no, I'll be better than Obama is his slogan. And you said it yourself.
I think we're finished. Now, Joyce, I'm terrified because I see the same clowns who ran McCain off the rails doing it to him. The other day he said, oh, Obama's not a bad guy. He's a nice man.
Ugh.
It's just that I have a different vision. That's the end of the road.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody believes Obama's a nice guy.
Mm-hmm. Well, and now I have to tell you a great story that I thought when it was happening to me last night, I said, I can't wait to tell Dr. Savage this story. I'm talking to my son who lives in Los Angeles and happens to be an attorney. I did the best I could, but things turn out the way they turn out. And he told me the case for the Supreme Court not overturning Obamacare. He said, and at the end of the argument, he said to me, look, I went to Yale Law School. Why are you arguing with me? That elitist, effete attitude, Michael, that they have is so aggravating, but that's, they love Obama.
Oh, you mean your own son has the elitist attitude?
Yes, yes.
Lord Joyce, come on.
I can't help it. I thought I was doing the right thing. I sent him to Harvard and Yale Law School. How did I know he was going to become a lunatic?
Joyce, the seltzer bottle doesn't fall far from the truck, okay?
I should have remembered that.
And remember that one? The seltzer bottle doesn't bounce far from the truck when I did that whole thing from Scungili.
I can't forget that. As a matter of fact, I played that. I have the bit in, you know, I think it's probably one of the most clever things in radio. But
so, Joyce, where are you going to move if the president for life gets reelected?
I've been looking at Uruguay.
down in one of the rivers down there?
Yeah. Or, oh, that's right. Oh, you've traveled all over South America. No,
Joyce,
good?
One of the Uruguayan rivers will remind you of the Never Sink River in your youth.
Okay. What about, like, Singapore? They tell me it's nice in Singapore.
I got food poisoning there. I don't like Asia. You know, it's funny. Everyone has a thing about various countries. I almost died twice in my life from food poisoning. Once was in Japan, and the second time was in Thailand. Ooh. So,
yeah,
although I eat Chinese and Japanese and Thai food here in San Francisco, mm-hmm. forget about it. I don't trust the hygiene in Asia. I know it's, oh, really? Yeah, really?
I have a question that's been, I've been thinking about it since I read this new book, and that is, how do you write all these books? Like, when do you breathe? When do you sleep?
I don't sleep. You know, even when I'm sleeping, last night was a shock. My mind was writing pages for another book, and I got... Normally, I get up if that happens, and I write it down. I have it like an auto thing in my head, right? Get up and write it down. Jerk, or you'll forget it or dictate it, right?
Mm-hmm.
I was so tired last night from talking about the book Trickle Down Tyranny and trying to get people to go out to the bookstores and look at it, see what they think, that my mind, I just couldn't get up and do it. So I lost a chapter, in other words, by sleeping.
Well, you need to write a sequel to Abuse of Power, because I think, I'm waiting for the movie, but in the meantime, I'm looking forward to the sequel. And your nonfiction books make my hair hurt because the news is all so bad.
Yeah, but that's it, Joyce. You know, let's take it from the side of the woman with the hyphenated name in South Florida, mm-hmm. who makes my flesh crawl because she reminds me of all the relatives I ran away from in New York.
It's a bad satyr.
Oh, God. It's like a bad Santa. That's a good title unto itself. Joyce, you've got... Why don't you tell your son to sell that as a film script, The Bad Satyr?
All right, I'll do it.
Who would play the rabbi?
You.
No, I'd be the liberal lawyer in the room. The one who went to Harvard, I'd play the opposite of me.
Oh, that'd be classic, right? Just as a caricature.
Yeah. I've
got a daughter in San Francisco. My life has been completely turned upside down by the state you live in.
What is does she share your political views?
No, she's a crazy physician, but at least she works in the VA hospital, so she tones down by respecting the men and women who serve in the military. Keeps her humble.
Isn't that amazing? No, you did great. You created two incredibly educated children. So, look, you can't have it all. So you got the, so their politics are the opposite of yours. But isn't that the way it works?
It is. And they'll grow up, because how long is he going to pay the taxes in Los Angeles and get nothing for his money and not revolt?
Is he married yet?
He just got married on New Year's Eve.
All right, two more years, he'll be a conservative Republican.
Amen.
He went to college
as a Republican. He was the kid for McCain on his campus many, many years ago at Harvard, the first time John McCain ran. I don't know what happened to him.
Here's the thing. What do you call a liberal with one child?
I don't know.
Conservative. No. What do you call a liberal with two children?
Ultra-conservative.
Right-winger. What do you call a liberal with three children? Fascist. I mean, that's how it works. So,
I love you. You're the best. So how's the book doing? I mean, it just came out, right? Like momentarily.
Yesterday was the launch date. I just got a call from my nervous agent biting his nails. He said it sold so many copies the first day that it's probably going to make it into the top five on the NYT list next Tuesday. And we're competing with some of the most difficult books to crack. Because here's the thing, Joyce, is interesting. Liberals are loyal they're very loyal.
Mm-hmm.
If a host who's a very liberal person goes out and says, do this, do that, they do it. They're like robots. It's like Jell-O. Conservatives are cheap. They don't even want to buy a book anymore.
Ugh.
What do they want, everything for nothing?
Well, and the problem with you writing a book is that they do get 3 hours a day of your mind. And they think that, they're sated by that. They don't realize that the book becomes a source of reference. I look at Trickle Down Tyranny, I'm going to be stealing lines for you for the next 2 years.
Joyce, before you go, and I can hear already in the voice an ad is coming. Hold on a minute. I hear already the pinched voice. I know already what's in the background, the clock.
Right.
You have a long stop set here.
No, I made it long. I'm going to get in trouble,
Joyce,
for it.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to read one line.
Okay.
Every author dreams of writing the one line that's remembered. Here's the first line of my book. Economies can be rebuilt, armies can be repopulated, but once a nation's pride is gone, it can almost never be restored. The loss of a nation's honor is something not even centuries can repair. The next president must love America. In other words, the next president must be the exact opposite of Barack Obama.
Well, if you think that's Mitt Romney, I mean, we're screwed.
Oh, my God. You hear? No. Well, let's spend a little time on Romney another time, Joyce.
Yeah.
But has he been on your show yet?
Not in this election, in the last election. People like tend to shy away from me. I'm kind of, toxic.
You're caustic. You
yeah.
ask real questions.
Exactly. Right. Did you see Michelle Obama was at Golden State Park over there by you and telling little kids that they should have their grandparents and great-grandparents that they are wrong if they don't vote for Barack Obama?
I saw the outfit she wore, and it frightened me. I mean, the outfit she wore with those spandex pants mm-hmm. put a chill through my spine. I said, what has happened to this country that she would even dare wear something so undignified? Yeah. That's really what it came down to. And you know what it is, Joyce?
What?
Barack Obama and Michelle Obama seem to think that they are above the law and they can do no wrong. They are absolutely arrogant. And as Lord Acton wrote, power corrupts, absolute power corrupts absolutely. And I think we're living through that.
I think you're right. Well, I thank you for spending some time with us.
When do you come to San Francisco to yell at your daughter?
Well, not too long, because I found out that my daughter's finally going to make me a grandmother, so I'll probably be out there soon.
She's liberal and she's getting married?
Wait, she got married, yeah.
She's liberal and lives in San Francisco, and I was afraid to ask it. She got married?
Yes, she got married. She did it all in the right order.
Well, maybe he's not as left-wing as she is.
It's interesting. I'll tell you about it one day.
Uh-oh, I heard already. Okay, give me a call when you come out here. I'll take you to some great Chinese food that's hygienically pure.
All right, you got it. Thank you. Dr. Michael Savage, and the book is Trickle Down Tyranny, Crushing Obama's Dream of the Socialist States of America, a must-have for everybody.
Savage.
Offended by Obama's persona? Does his arrogant demeanor bother you? That imperious face, that looking down at everybody, that sneer? I'm going to give out copies of Trickle Down Tyranny to everyone who gets on the air, only if you know the title of the book when I call you to say what's the name of the book, okay? And here's what you're going to hear. If you win it, you hear this. If you stumble and say Trickle Down Tickle or Trickle Down Stethoscope or wait, Trickle Down Shoe, here's what you hear. Okay, so we're going to play a game on the Savage Nation. Let's take the callers, okay? You ready for this? Jacob Sacramento, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Do you think the Republican Party is attracted to a weaker candidate or a weaker man, somebody that doesn't hunt or fish or maybe, you know, shoot guns?
I don't know what. It's an interesting question, which is why we put you up. It's an intriguing concept. What do you mean? They're actually afraid of, like, the Barry Goldwater was the last real conservative Republican. He was a Westerner. He flew an airplane. He was a hunter, a fisherman, right? Real Arizonan.
Yeah, a man's man.
In other words, he was a man's man without laying in a... It wasn't from Brokeback Mountain, let's put it that way. See, there's a difference between criticizing a candidate, as I do, in an attempt to goad him into taking stronger positions and attacking the man simply to run him down. That's a very important difference. I tried to say that during the Bush years. Okay, if you name it, you gain it. What's the title of the book?
Trickle Down Tyranny.
Okay. You even got me to laugh with that. Poulet, filet, grilled lamb chops, veal piccata, grilled New York steak, two duck special, sweetbreads, rock cod. Take a guess which one I had. I had the fish. I had the fish. I always go home dissatisfied.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now,
America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
You're listening to an encore segment of Michael Savage.
I have a few connections with the state of Wisconsin. One of the most humorous, I think, relates to my father. You may remember that my father, George Romney, was president of an automobile company.
This game is not over. March Madness, what happens if your team doesn't win? Well, wait a minute, let's have the game.
Until Mitt Romney has 1,144 locked down solidly, I owe it to the people that have helped me for the last year to represent their views and their values. And I find it fascinating. None of you guys would call a football team or a basketball team and say, gee, why don't you drop out?
And I'm live on the Savage Nation, playing with my old instant replay machine dating back to the 1700s. Welcome to the Savage Nation. Can't hear me on the mic? You want me to raise the volume? How's that? Can you hear me now, ladies and gentlemen of the Savage Nation? Yeah, I'm in a crazy mood today. Really, I've had enough of this. If I have to listen to Romney saying nothing, and Pelosi saying nothing, and Gingrich saying nothing, while the world is burning and the country is melting down from the most incompetent president in American history, I don't know what I'm going to do. So I'm playing with old equipment today. I found the instant replay machine that I've had for, I don't know, since the beginning of radio, 95, 96. I'm in one of my studios, one of my hidden locations. I have seven studios in various parts of the country. And I move around for various reasons. Number one is I'm an antsy kind of guy. That's an old word for a condition that they describe as medical today called ADD. In my day, it was called intelligence. Today, it's defined as an illness. As you well know, intelligence is defined as an illness by the medical establishment to make certain that you can continue to elect imposters like Obama. And so, therefore, I begin today with the most important story of the day, which is that one of my favorite sandwich stores, Subway Sandwiches, in San Francisco, has eliminated the $5 foot-long sandwich because the cost of doing business is too high. You see, in San Francisco, the psycho-liberals have raised the minimum wage to $10.24 an hour. Now, you may say, that's not a lot of money. That helps the poorest of the poor. Well, really? Now the poorest of the poor who were buying sandwiches at Subway will be unable to buy a sandwich for $5 because the morons in San Francisco can't pave a road going to the Golden Gate Bridge and can't get rid of a sheriff arrested for spousal abuse, have figured out that by raising the minimum wage, you help the poor by hurting the poor. I'm going to ask you another weird question, which I didn't ask a question yet. What are your I was thinking about something to do other than the news. I want to talk about something a little different, if you don't mind. And that is this. What are your favorite? I want to talk about the changing media landscape. We know that everything's changing in the media. And unless you know which way the wind blows, you're actually not going to be part of what's coming in this country. For example, we all know the story of the silent movies, and then they became talkies, right? And many silent actors said, oh, those talkies, they'll never take off. People don't want to hear actors talk. Well, it's the same with the internet radio. It's the same with websites. The world's changing around us. Many people don't even understand this. So I want to ask you this. It's a leading question in some ways. What are your favorite news websites other than michaelsavage.com? I'm not doing this to get you to say my website. Other than my website, where do you go for your news? On the web now. And number two, which news websites have you stopped going to and why? That's an equally important question. And what are the best and worst news websites available today? That's another important question. Here's another one. Do you still read a physical newspaper? Now, that's an interesting statement, physical newspaper. That means something of newsprint that leaves ink on your fingers. And if so, which one do you read and why? Or have you stopped reading a physical newspaper? That's not about having good digestion, but have you stopped reading a physical newspaper and why? Do you find the... You want me to go on? Here's another one. Do you still read paper books, books with covers and paper, or have you switched to buying ebooks? When did you switch and why? Finally, and this is the most important question to me because I'm going to give you a piece of data that you're probably not aware of, would you download the ebook version of Trickle Down Tyranny? See, all roads lead to Trickle Down Tyranny. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. A little old sound to get you going here. The circus of the media. Let's go to the callers right off the bat. Let's begin in New York City. Now, before I go to New York City, I got to tell you something else. I was walking around San Francisco today. A funny thing happened to me on the way to the microphone, as they used to say. After work, I go to a certain Italian restaurant, not in the city, and I've been having a lot of beer and pizza because I'm trying to gain weight. I want to see what a weight gain diet would feel like. So I'm doing the opposite of what most people are doing. I'm packing on the carbs. I never felt better. So I'm drinking like a pint of beer and eating a pizza with the dog next to me. A guy came up to me last night. See, this is the problem. I don't know the guy. And he makes believe he's my friend, and he starts talking to me. He drove me so crazy. I had to leave the restaurant. I said, you know, you're a big pain in the you-know-what. And the guy made believe, he inveigled his way next to me. Oh, you remember me from 6 years ago. Remember me? Yeah, I'm the gardener. Yeah, the gardener who gave you a bid, and you didn't use my service. I didn't know who he was. I had no idea. He said, don't you remember me? My wife is Israeli. He said, remember you told me why you didn't move to Israel because everyone was smarter than you? I said, no, I don't remember that. He said, well, you said it. I remember it. One of those people. And he wouldn't leave me. Now, I understand why people have bodyguards, because this guy should have been thrown out of the... I mean, he was bothering me. I said, even if I said that 6 years ago, which I doubt, I said, it's no longer true. Right now, I'm smarter than most Israelis because I don't live there. He didn't get the joke. But it got worse. Every word out of his mouth was an insult. So I said, you know, you're a big pain in the... Would you leave me alone? He said, oh, I'm just kidding. I said, go back to Brooklyn. You know, he's one of these guys that came up and says, oh, Mike, I'm from Brooklyn. I know. Right away, he's my friend. You know, 9 million New Yorkers, he's my friend. Don't you love that? This is the crazy thing about living outside New York, if you were once a New Yorker, is that people think that because you came from New York and they came from New York, there's almost a familial thing. You're their friend. Oh, you're from New York City? No kidding. Oh, we must know each other. One of those guys. I couldn't get rid of him. He was like a fly in a stable. Let's put it to you that way, since it's a family show. If I were on the internet right now, you wouldn't have heard the word stable. It would have begun with an S and it would have ended with an M, Santorum. Like a fly on Santorum. Like a fly on Santorum's vest after eating a honey cheesecake. What is Santorum going to do after this is over? Would anybody go to a book signing for Rick Santorum? The guy's doing this strictly to build up a book advance. Would you go to a lecture by Rick Santorum 3 years from now? I don't understand what this world is all about, but I know that it doesn't make any sense to me, so I can just imagine what it does for you. Now, look, we have plenty of callers on the web, the newsprint, whether you're going to buy an E version or a B version or a C version or a he version or a she version of Trickle Down Tyranny. So let's go to the callers before I take a break, because I can tell you right now that I'm actually going to have fun today because I got the old instant replay up. I got all my favorite sound bites. This is a relic. I could sell this instant replay hard disk audio 2.0 360 systems machine on my website and raise money with it. I mean, I feel like I'm looking at a Yugo. It's like a Yugo of, and this is like a Yugo of the radio business. Nobody uses a thing like this. How about the, what is that? Don't know. 3 is a dud. 14, we had circus music already. I like the march, the Germanic tune. I like very much. Is it still legal in America to play anything with a Germanic implication to it, or is that now considered racism? Okay, turn it off. That's all. Wait, hang on. Before I go, I just recorded my 10th annual economic briefing with author and Swiss America chairman Craig R. Smith. And what I discovered confirms my worst fears. Something is about to happen that will change the course of world history. And not one in a thousand will believe it until it's already too late. After writing 4 important books accurately predicting the future of gold, oil, the dollar, and inflation, Mr. Smith is on the verge of releasing his next book. This CD covers the root issue of this coming crisis and offers 3 critical steps to protect your family from the fallout. Call today for this hot new Savage CD, The Future of Money. It's free, 800-289-2646, or online at swissamerica.com/savage.
Savage.
Why is it that the Tea Party has become silent? There was an election in 2010. It was a mandate on Obama. They lost everywhere across the nation with one or two exceptions. There was already an election. Obama's policies were voted out. So now where is the Tea Party? Well, they've been intimidated by the Congressional Black Caucus's hate. Then they were intimidated by the union who said, let's take them out. Now we're getting report after report that agents are running around taking pictures of their license plates. So let me read to you from Chapter 5 of Trickle-Down Tyranny. Red October 2011, Obama's Communist Revolution. You see, you got to understand something. This is the last nonfiction book I'm going to write on politics. So it's a no holds barred. If you ever bought a book of mine, this is the last document you're going to need. It's a do or die situation. Either you vote this man out or there's going to be no freedom of the press in this country, as sure as I'm sitting here. Why do I say that? Because already the publishers are afraid to publish conservatives. They're terrified. They're intimidated at every turn by this administration. Tax breaks, access, you name it. They don't have to pass a fairness doctrine to kill the voices of the conservatives in radio. You know that, don't you? So let me read a line or two for you. You ready for this? Obama has made it clear that he hates the Tea Party. Can it be any clearer than that? Does that come as a surprise to you? The Tea Party is the American middle class. Of course the president hates them. They're the bourgeoisie that every socialist hates. They're the people who work for a living, start companies, employ other people. They're the people who pay the taxes Obama squanders. In other words, they're dangerous to Obama's October Revolution. Their economic success has got to be shut down. Obama is targeting the middle class so the big bankers could care less what he says about them or about the unwashed, unshaven, uneducated vermin who think they're promoting the downfall of the rich. Obama's tax the rich scheme is aimed at people who are far from wealthy but who are nonetheless already taxed at a rate near 40%. It doesn't affect the truly rich, who are much more concerned with the capital gains tax. That's because they know enough not to take their money as income, but in other forms that are not taxed as income. Do you think Warren Buffett is worried about paying income tax? Buffett, one of the richest men in the world, earned nearly $63 million in 2010, of which about $40 million was taxable. He paid less than $7 million to the IRS, a 17.4% tax rate. He's advocating that people who make $1 million annually should be taxed at the highest rate. And Obama is going to take that definition of millionaire down to people earning $200,000 annually. I mean, this is just a hint of what's in my book. I don't write books with empty pages. I'm not the wall banger. I'm not the leprechaun. I don't just put my picture on the cover and empty pages in between with a picture of me with a sweater. I write Persian miniatures. Every sentence matters. Every word matters. I'm a writer. I started as a writer. I'll die as a writer. This is my life in this book. I put everything in this book. It's the last chance we have. It's the last barricade we have against these barbarians who are destroying this country. This is what you need to hear from this is what you really need to hear from Romney. This is what you needed to hear from Romney. Instead, you get a soft shoe treatment from the elevator man. A soft shoe act from him and Mrs. Romney, from the elevator man. You hear? What do you expect from a two-party system where there's no pee underneath the pod? What do you expect from two gangs that are robbing us blind? Are you kidding me? You think I didn't know it? I knew it years ago when I saw Pat Buchanan, who's sitting there weeping about being thrown off television, when I heard that he got in his Lincoln Navigator after a show, and the very people he was pretending to argue with, he went to dinner with and had a drink with, I said, that's the end of the road for me. Who does he think he's kidding? The guy was an insider. He was a speechwriter. Then the minute he loses TV show, boo-hoo, they're out to get me. Boo-hoo, they're out to get me. Where was Pat Buchanan when I was banned in Britain? Nowhere. Why? Because I'm an outsider. I'm the true outsider. I don't belong to either party. I belong to the people. I'm a product of the people. I'm a proud product of the people. My father came here, and you know what he did as an immigrant? I'm not ashamed to say it. He sold things out of a push cart. Shall I say it to you again? I don't have to pretend we were poor. My father sold things out of a push cart on the Lower East Side of New York to scrape together enough money to open up his own stall in a market. So don't tell me I don't know anything about the American way. I wasn't born to a silver spoon the way Obama was. I didn't have people sending me to college. I didn't have secret money putting me through Harvard. I had to fight for everything I have. I had to scrape every dollar out of the earth that I have. That's who I am. Am I proud of it? No, it's just who I am. I'm not proud or unproud. It's what it is. I had to survive, so I survive. I never took a dime from anybody. And I've given more than I've taken. And anybody who's ever worked with me has profited from it. That's all there is to it. So what can I say to you? I see a country going to pieces. I see an illegitimate presidency. I see an illegitimate administration. I see an illegitimate media. And so I scream from a rooftop on this radio show. To what effect? To what end? To what avail, I ask myself? It's all a damn joke. It's considered nothing. Instead of a street rat, an agitator with absolutely no education, a bum, a rabble rouser is held up as a role model by this administration. That's what kills me. All this education, all of this struggle to achieve so that when my voice is spoken, people listen to me because I have the credentials to be listened to. Instead, a street rat gets up there and says, burn down a city, and the government applauds him. It's enough to make you sick. It's a world upside down. It's not Alice in Wonderland. You know what it is? It's a tyrant in the White House. That's why the world is upside down. The man has turned the world upside down. Turned it upside down. Where poverty is rewarded, where success is punished, where our worst enemies are praised and our allies like Israel are stiffed, where the military is used as a pawn, where our borders have descended into total chaos, while corporations and cronies like General Electric and Warren Buffett make off with all of the booty. That's why I say to you, this book is the one manifesto that stands between us and the deluge. Trickle-down tyranny.
Savage.
You're listening to an encore segment of Michael Savage.
I want you to listen to this interview that I did on my new book, Trickle Down Tyranny, now a bestseller.
Dr. Savage, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm good. I wish I were better, but I can't be better because every day is another shock to the system.
How important is it to the future of this nation to rid ourselves of this president come November?
Well, look, if you like Fidel Castro, I think that he's a perfect candidate to be president for life. But if you like America, where success is rewarded, not poverty, where success is not punished, but poverty is punished, where our allies are respected and our enemies are attacked, I mean, this guy has everything backwards. He uses the military as a pawn. Our borders have descended into absolute chaos. Corporations and cronies make off with all the wealth. The people are screaming. And the fact of the matter is, his most deep-pocketed campaign donors and allies are getting fat grants and contracts. Did you see the article this morning that he's diverted $500 million in tax money?
To the IRS.
To the IRS to make sure that Obamacare is upheld even if the court turns it down?
Yeah, a little presumptuous, huh?
No, it's a dictatorship. You know, so when I say to people, trickle-down tyranny, I'm not just using it as hype. I have 300 or more pages of facts here. This is a terrifying situation. Look, even Democrats, and this is an interesting point, even Democrats are frightened of this administration because Obama is out of touch with the mainstream of the Democrat Party. He is something different. We have never had an extreme leftist of this variety in the White House. This is the first time. And the Democrats are terrified. And, you know, the fact is we've had an election which was a mandate on whether or not America wanted to move this far to the left. It was in 2010. The Republicans swept in virtually every election. The media would have you believe that we don't really know where the American people stand. Nothing can be further from the truth. The election said nobody wants to be dragged into the far left in 2010. The problem is the Republicans have done such a great job of killing each other that we don't even know if Obama will be defeated. That really is the issue, don't you think?
Yeah, it's sad, very sad. We've seen the 99% crowd, a battle over free contraception, an attempt at a race war, his slap at the Supreme Court, his lecturing of the press on how to report on him, yet he still appears to have half of America ready to vote for him. How?
It's very simple. Over half of America doesn't pay taxes, do they? That's the half that loves Obama. They like you and I working our behinds off to pay for their pleasure, don't you think?
Yeah, yeah. Now we
it's how every demagogue works, yeah. Which is appeal to the lowest common denominator, attack the productive and call them the rich, support the bums and call them the victims. This is nothing new. See, everything that he's saying has been tried somewhere else. Europe's moving away from this. The European governments are moving away from this far-left mentality. What worries me is not just the socialism that we see creeping into our country, and we're 50-60% there anyway. It's the tyrannical nature of Obama. Who listening to this show can say that they're not frightened of this man's imperiousness, his arrogance, the vacations, the First Lady's repeated vacations and arrogance? It's as though we're living with a king and a queen, not a president and a First Lady.
Mm-hmm. I'd mentioned the press just briefly. You have an excellent description of what once was a great journalistic society in this country. What happened to them?
After World War II, you had men returning from war who were these grizzled, hardened, alcoholic smokers who wouldn't let a fly go by without analyzing it, correctly so, because they didn't want tyranny to evolve. The tough old type of reporter that doesn't exist anymore. And they were, eventually, they died off, and we now have what you call the Society of Professional Journalists. Need I say more? The fact of the matter is these are all geldings.
Yeah.
They were specifically picked to enter journalism school because they were not these gung-ho, defend America, defend the Constitution types. These were kids who couldn't do anything else, frankly, so they went into journalism school. I'm very harsh on it because I see what they've done. The job of the press is to be a pit bull for the American people, not to be a lapdog of the administration to get invited to dinners. And that summarizes it all, don't you think?
Yep, I do. And in fact, with the passing of Mike Wallace, I thought, there goes the last one. I mean, there was a guy who I thought was the pit bull you spoke of.
Well, his son, Mr. Meatball Jr., is on Fox News with a different...
Chris Wallace.
Mr. Meatball Jr. is there. I mean, he pretends to be a tough journalist. And
no, he's a registered Democrat. I called him out on that, and he admitted it.
I see. Well, how many others on Fox are registered Democrats?
You know, I don't know that.
I mean, you've got Scarface. I mean, what's her name? The Scientologist who pretends to be a journalist.
You're not talking about Greta, are you?
Yeah. The Scientologist. The Scientologist who went for a facelift and a campaign lift and came out and said, I'm on Fox News, but I'm still a registered Scientologist Democrat. And I'm supposed to believe a word she says?
Oh, man. All right, we're going
to
move
laugh. I'm sorry. Look, I don't mean to embarrass you.
No,
they're not. Look, I don't want to embarrass you. The fact is I'm banned in the United Kingdom and I'm banned on Fox News. To me, they're one and the same at this point.
Wow.
The fear here for me is that the trickle-down tyranny we all see,
yeah,
is this. Are we going to remain the United States of America or become the USS of eight, the socialist states of America? Will Obama transform the greatest engine of freedom the world has ever known into a Stalin-like dictatorship? Or can the American people wake up and throw this polarizing president out of office next November? That's what my entire book is about.
You know,
it's about the tyranny. The tyranny is what it's about. It's not an invention. It's there. It's factual.
I want people to read page 120 of your book, Trickle Down Tyranny. That's the name of the book, folks. Rules for Beating Radicals. I must admit, I love the fighting the fire with fire approach. I've always been like that. You got to challenge them. You got to call them out. Why doesn't the right do this? Why don't they take the garbage they spew and throw it right back in their face, Michael?
You know, it's funny you picked that because most of the readers who bought the book said to me they love the rules for beating radicals, meaning techniques, tactics. Can I read four headlines in there, please?
Yep.
Never believe a word that comes out of a Democrat's mouth. That's a safe thing to do. Never negotiate with a leftist Democrat because they have no good faith. Never compromise with a Democrat because to them compromise is a victory. Attack Democrats before they attack you.
Wait, hang on before I go. Back in September, we all paused to remember the 9/11 attacks. That one day changed the very way we all live and think. In fact, the Red Cross now recommends that we have a surplus of food in case of disaster, weather, or power outages. That's why I recommend and personally use WiseFoodStorage.com. WiseFoodStorage.com provides affordable and complete delicious ready-made meals for emergencies or even camping. I know more about food than anybody in radio. I have a PhD from the University of California in nutrition. These foods are nutritionally sound for good health. Visit WiseFoodStorage.com. Get a free entree sample by entering the promo code SAVAGE, and then you'll get free shipping on any order. SAVAGE. WiseFoodStorage.com or call 855-FOODWISE, and be sure to mention SAVAGE for a free sample and free shipping on any order. Be wise and be ready with WiseFoodStorage.com.
SAVAGE.
Savage Nation. You know, watching what's going on in Syria, all of the people killed by Assad, I mean, this is how the Holocaust occurred in World War II. No one did anything. And you're now living through the beginnings of an Arab Holocaust going on through the Arab Crescent. And you don't do anything. Where's Hillary, by the way, now that her big plan blew up in her face? This is the greatest disaster in foreign policy in history, and the media doesn't talk about it. From Libya across the Arab Crescent, people are dying because of George Soros' money, Jimmy Carter and Zabrinsky's architecture, Hillary Clinton's PR. People are dying across the Arab Crescent. I'm telling you, I can see it for what it is. She thinks she's going to be president? I don't think so. Imagine that. If you think Obama is bad, who would be worse, Obama or Hillary Clinton? I mean, we've lived through this regime now for 3 years, and we're all living, you know, in terror, fear that this imposter will be elected again, where our worst enemies are praised and our allies stiffed, where poverty is rewarded and success is punished, where the military is being downsized and used as a pawn, where our border has descended into absolute chaos, while corporations and cronies like General Electric make off with all of the wealth. Why did I write Trickle-Down Tyranny? I'm trying to have you stop this emerging dictatorship before we all lose our constitutional God-given rights. So let's go to the callers, if you don't mind. New York, WOR, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hello. As a religious person, I'm ashamed ever to be caught going on to Rupert Murdoch's
press. Brian, I don't understand. I don't know what you're saying. What is it?
As a religious person, I'm embarrassed to be seen on Rupert Murdoch's print, such as Fox News.
Okay, so what do you read instead?
I read news aggregators such as, Drudge and those types of websites.
Like when you wake up in the morning, what's the first website you go to is my question. If you don't mind, I realize it's difficult to talk radio being what it is today, but yeah. No, what is the first website you go to in the morning? I'll be honest, I get up in the morning, I go onto my site, and I go onto Drudge. I go onto a few other sites. I can tell you what's in my bar there, the favorites. Well, each studio has different ones. They're loaded in. I read the New York Post, but it's gotten so awful. It has gotten so awful I don't know what the Post has become. There's almost no news. It's all about some fat girl with big lips and who she's divorcing or screwing. I've never seen anything like it. It's incomprehensible what Murdoch has done to the news. I've never seen anything like it. I mean, look, it went downhill once he hired the Leprechaun. We understand that. The Leprechaun came from Entertainment Tonight and then posed as a newsman. He has a big audience. Admittedly, I understand that. But that doesn't mean that I have to worship at his throne. And he dictates who gets on the network. So, good luck to him. Here in the Bay Area, we have a website for the San Francisco area, the worst in history. It used to be average. There's nothing there. There's no news. Nothing. It's either about a restaurant or a donut or someone hit by a bicycle, you know, or the 30 best places for pizza. No one has ever seen anything like this.
You've got mail.
Again, see, I didn't shut the computer. If I tell you what calls I'm getting, robocalls. I'm addicted to the computer like most of you. See, I hear I got mail. I can't wait to see who it is. It's usually nothing. I sent do you read hardcover or do you read softcover? Where are the news stories of today? I buried them already. You want to hear what I got waiting for you? Here they are. No Subway $5 footlongs in San Francisco because the cost of doing business is too high. You hear this? I mean, so they take the sandwiches that poor people are buying and they eliminate them to tell you they're helping the poor. It's like you got to kill for peace. That's San Francisco's liberals for you. You hear this? I'm a fan of Subway. I don't eat there every day, but would I want to be anonymous and be left alone? I get the footlong. I get a foot long. I cut it in half. I eat it for lunch. No one bothers me. I sit and look at the pigeons. And sometimes at night, I eat the other half. I feel like I'm cheating the system. It's like cheating the system in Las Vegas to eat a foot long sandwich. No more in San Francisco. You hear? $10.24 minimum wage plus health care on another dollar. Health care on everything you buy. You know, if you spend 10% on top of everything you buy for a health care bill. No. So to help the poor, they've hurt the poor. Do you think race relations are better or worse under Obama? How about that for an incendiary question? Do you think race relations are better or worse under Barack Obama? You know, you have to understand what's going on. I've said he's the most divisive president in history. You know it's true. New York, Pauline, you're up. Go ahead, please.
Yes, Mike. Regarding books, I always like to get a hardcover book versus a Kindle. I find like the Kindle is too sterile. I like to feel the book. I like to look at the pages, turn them. So I always.
Well, it's the same with me. Truthfully, the books I read, I get in them a hardcover edition. Number one, I don't like paperback. They're too small for me. Of course, on an airplane, I mean, you know, obviously a small paperback is better. But a lot of people on planes are using the electronic editions because they can have so many books in there with no weight and this and that. So I'm going to send you a copy of Trickle Down Tyranny in hardcover with delicious pages. Each one is fully dissolvable in a cup of tea, and they taste great. Look at this. I'm holding like a, it's like the Gutenberg Bible, what's coming in this world. 323 pages with references. To me, I grew up on books. So to me, if it's not a printed book, it's not a book, you know? You know, I can't understand the Kindle that well. I know 30% of my sales, by the way, are electronic, incidentally. Whether you really get the royalty, who really knows? You know what I mean? How do you know when with the downloading and the transferring? You don't really know. I have a great chapter in here. I'm going to read you the opening chapter, a sentence. Bear with me. I know you don't want to hear me read, but you got to hear this. You'll see how smart I am. Chapter 3, Tyranny of the Government Media Complex. And, you know, it sounds catchy. And if there was nothing new in here, I would say don't talk about the book. There's a lot new in here, and it's very important. So let me read this opening to you and tell me if you think there's anything new in this. Tyranny of the Government Media Complex, Chapter 3 of Trickle Down Tyranny, my brand new book. Here's what I write. I am no friend of Rupert Murdoch, and the dislike is mutual. The media baron, who owns the Fox News Channel, the Wall Street Journal, and many other newspapers and television outlets in the United States, the UK, Australia, and Asia, doesn't like me. Fox News doesn't cover my speeches or follow up on the scoops on my radio show. I'm never invited to appear on its cable news network. I could drop dead and Murdoch wouldn't care, and I don't owe Fox or Murdoch anything either. Like I said, I'm not a friend of Murdoch, and it is not my job to write a legal defense of that strange media mogul. I just call them as I see them without fear or favor. Yet in the interest of fair and balanced, assessment of the news, I think it's time to put certain aspects of the media war into a fresh perspective, one that you haven't heard anywhere before because no one else dares to tell you the truth like I do, and show you how the media elite and the federal government are conspiring to take away your rights. I'm talking about the tyranny of the government media complex. In his last days in office, President Eisenhower warned the nation about the gathering strength of the military-industrial complex. As a career U.S. Army officer and former Supreme Allied Commander in Europe, his warning was sincere and powerful. In March 98 at the famous Commonwealth Club of San Francisco, I warned the public about the growing power of the government media complex. Like Eisenhower, I know what I'm talking about, and I have the guts to say it. And so I then go on. I'm not going to read you every word, and I'm not going to read you my speech, but now I'm going to get up to where we are today, where I say, and today the government media complex is more dangerous and more powerful than ever. First, let's take a tour of the government media complex. When I was a kid in the 1950s, journalists and government officials didn't go to school together, marry each other, or go into business together.
The Correspondents Association dinner itself is such a love-in between the president and the press that Obama joked in the 09 dinner, all of you voted for me. He won huge applause for that line because the nearly 2,000 members of the working press in the room knew it to be true. Okay, and the press now marries government officials. Consider the case of NBC on-air reporter Andrea Mitchell, who in 1997 married then-chairman of the United States Federal Reserve, Alan Greenspan. Or the case of President Obama's ambassador to the UN, Susan Rice. Did you know she's married to an ABC news executive? Did you know that ABC's Christiane Amanpour is married to a former Bill Clinton State Department spokesman? Well, all of this and more is new to you, isn't it? It's in the book Trickle Down Tyranny, which is why you have to have it. And it doesn't end there. And I'm not just here as telling you about that. I then go on to the Soros-Murdoch media war, very important chapter. I actually take Murdoch's side, even though he hates me, even though he has barred me from his news outlets. I take Murdoch's side because that is the right thing to do. It's Soros out to destroy Murdoch and the news. I then go into many, many other factors, and now I'll read you the end of the chapter. You ready for this? The secret society that threatens every one of us extends far beyond even the vast star-packed universe of the government media complex. In the next chapter, I will show you how Soros, Obama, and the rest of a secretive financial elite control the United States economy and are purposefully driving it to destruction. In the end, you could lose your job, your house, your car, and even your country. Their subversion of the media, which acts as sword and shield to protect them from public scrutiny, allows them to carry out a much larger, far-ranging plan. If you agree with everything I just said, how are you going to buy the book? Hardcover or in a Kindle edition? Huh?
Savage.